This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, and together with me, Dashrin Johan and Lim Soo Ann. So before the break, we were talking about coronasomnia, the phenomenon of more and more people facing issues with their sleep because of the stresses associated with the current pandemic. And now on to our second story. We do have a question going on Twitter.
Yeah, so over on Twitter, you have a poll and we're asking you, do you have female heroes? And we want you to tell us who they are. So we have two options, which is yes and no. And I'm glad to say that I think 85% of y'all say yes, while 15% of y'all say no right now.
Yeah. So yeah. You can continue to take that poll at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us your answers, 018-789-8899. Tell us, do you have female heroes, who they are? And the reason that we're talking about that is because for the last couple of weeks, a simple question by a Twitter user named Jessica Brown has been going viral and getting some very interesting responses. So the question she asked, which we've of course been inspired by today, is, do men have women heroes? And while on the surface this seems like a very simple question, it really seemed to strike a chord with many people. Many men chimed in, sharing the women that they've looked up to or been inspired by. And of course, this was really, really nice to read. But it also inspired many people to discuss why it is still relatively uncommon for men to see women as figures to look up to. And as of today, that original tweet by Jessica Brown has been retweeted nearly 25,000 times and liked by more than 106,000 people from all over the world.
And the list of women being named as heroes by men is a really inspiring one. So the list is quite varied, and names that have come up include Jacinda Ardern, Greta Thunberg, Malala Yousafzai, Harriet Tubman, Margaret Thatcher, Hedy Lamarr, Jane Goodall, Katherine Johnson, Nina Simone, and Amelia Earhart. But this also brings up the point, why is this question being asked in the first place? Shouldn't it be a non-issue that men might have female heroes? But the truth is that it is still relatively uncommon that men might list women as their heroes, as someone to look up to and be inspired by. Uncommon enough that it is notable when it happens.
And if you think about it, this extends into the fictional realm as well. You know, if you think about all the heroes that we've grown up watching on TV or movies, the overwhelming number of them tend to be men. And it's only in the last decade or so that we're seeing more efforts being made to present heroic female figures on screen. You know, after all, while there was Catwoman in 2005, as well as Elektra that same year, it took until 2017's Wonder Woman for us to get a legitimate female superhero on our movie screens. And despite there being characters like Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games, Rey from Star Wars, and of course Wonder Woman herself, you rarely see merchandise from these characters being sold to girls or women.
To boys
or men. Yeah. Yes, sorry.
So this ties back to something that actress Emma Watson, who is the UN ambassador for the He for She initiative. So she said that in an interview in 2017, and that actually went viral, that many men or boys aren't open to having women heroes. And I'm quoting her, "If I asked a young boy what superhero they looked up to, I feel a lot fewer would say a female one or would ever use an example of a female one than in reverse." And if you think that is something we just see in entertainment, well, just last year, an article in Harper's Bazaar in the US pointed out how when male presidential candidates were asked to list their heroes, the only women that they mentioned were their wives or their mothers. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but this also points to the fact that they're not seeing inspiration in women outside of these spheres. The article also talked about research that shows, despite women being roughly 50% of the people in history, they are really, really underrepresented when it comes to history textbooks. So one study of history textbooks, which was cited in the American Multicultural Studies Diversity of Race, Ethnicity, Gender and Sexuality, revealed that in one 819-page history book, references to women added up to less than one page. The article also points out how 53% of mentions of women in history books are usually confined to domestic roles. So the jobs they did as someone's wife or taking care of someone. And rarely as political figures.
And a lot of this is a larger issue of systemic exclusion as well. So men might not deliberately decide not to look up to women, but when women are not given the same access and opportunity to excel, they're there are naturally fewer women to look up to. On top of that, when women do excel, their achievements have historically been downplayed or even ignored altogether. For instance, mathematician Katherine Johnson, who played a pivotal part in John Glenn's launch into orbit, which was depicted in the movie Hidden Figures, or chemist Rosalind Franklin, whose work proved to be critical in identifying DNA structure and yet was only nominally acknowledged by James Watson and Francis Crick, who are credited with the discovery. In fact, in these sciences, the phenomenon actually has a name, the Matilda effect, which refers to a pattern in which female scientists have historically been underrecognized and credit disproportionately given to male scientists.
Well, thank you, Dash, for acknowledging my contribution there. But really, just to unpack these issues, we have on the line Dr. Karim Battash, who is a senior lecturer in psychology. Thanks for joining us, Karim. Now, just to start off with, is there truth to the notion that fewer men have female heroes? And if so, why do you think this happens?
Yes, I think there is a truth to that. Fewer men have female heroes as opposed to women. But I think in general also women have fewer female heroes as compared to male heroes. Now, you can ask yourself the question, is this a deliberate thing? Do we choose as individuals to have more male heroes? Or is there something else going on? Now we're living in a cultural time, so to speak, where we are pretty much the product of mainly Western cultural influences. The past 400 or 500 years have been the time of the so to speak Western Empire. And before that, we had other empires such as the Egyptian empires or the Mongolian empire. But we are now living in the Western Empire, and the Western culture, and it's not the only one, but at least what we can say is that the Western culture is a very masculine culture. Okay. Now, of course, we now have this whole debate that sexism is bad and women's rights and all that stuff. And of course, this is very important, but it hides the fact that Western, and in particular European culture, has been very, very masculine. Okay, so only men could vote until very recently. Only men could do science until very recently. Okay, so what happens is when you have a culture that focuses mainly on male accomplishments, you also have a history that is built around male accomplishments. So when you read history books, when you read philosophy books and so forth, it's almost always males. And not just that, it's also white males. So it's not only that often we think, when we think about heroes or important people in history, we not only think often about males, but also white males, even though there have been a lot of accomplishments from blacks in Africa or Asians or South Americans, and then also a lot of women in these areas. So because we have been, we could say, unculturated or socialized, or I could even say indoctrinated with Western masculine white culture, we often think about certain specific individuals that have these specific characteristics, male, often white, when we think about heroes. And you can still see that in popular culture. Look at movies, look at video games. Most of the heroes are still white males. So I think that is psychologically where we have to look for the answer. Why is it that we cannot think of other people? For example, Asian women or South American women, black women, Arab women, and so forth. Ask yourself the question, why is that? And then you often see that the answer can be found in the culture that you have been indoctrinated with.
So is it somehow easier or more acceptable for women to have male heroes than for men to have female heroes?
Now, because we live in a culture like this, it becomes, you could almost say, a little bit weird for a man to have female heroes, not because he is weird, or not because that is weird, But because if you have lived in a culture where that is not considered normal, then of course it becomes a bigger hurdle for a man to say, hey, I have female heroes. While we also, like I said, we live in a masculine culture, so it's not weird for a woman to have a female hero. You see? So a very insidious thing is happening there. It is the idea that in a masculine culture, a man must be, quote unquote, masculine. And what does masculinity mean? That you have male heroes with typical male characteristics and female heroes, that's a little bit weird. Even though, personally, I do not think that is weird. I have my female heroes, and luckily that this is changing. But in the end, we still live in this kind of culture all around the world where masculinity is still a bit of the norm, so to speak.
So how much does systemic sexism play into this? For instance, many feels not being as open or easy for women to achieve in, and also that historically when women accomplished things, they were not celebrated on the same level?
Yes, I think this is a very good question. It's indeed systemic sexism plays a role. And that again, that brings me back to culture. I'm a cultural psychologist because culture is so important. Culture shapes the way we all behave. And culture doesn't just mean Malay or Indian or Chinese. It means we also have a global culture. When we look at popular media, when we look at Google, Facebook, YouTube, you name it, we are all recipients of a global culture, which has an asymmetrical cultural flow from the West. And indeed, we still have a very systemic culture of sexism. There are multiple things that are happening here. First of all, indeed, in a culture of masculinity, you just have fewer women that achieve things because they were excluded in history. So that is number one. And number two, also, systemic sexism is a culture that revolves around masculinity, also focuses more on male heroes. So you have a good point there, you know, that when women accomplish things, they were not celebrated as much. And also, number three, systemic sexism, which works exactly similar to systemic racism, is that you always focus on something that by your culture is being put forward as the norm. Okay, so with systemic sexism, that means male. But systemic sexism cannot be untied from systemic racism. They are exactly similar, just focused on two different aspects, but they are interrelated. It's the white male that is currently being propped up as the center of masculinity, as the heroes, as the intellect, intelligence, and so forth. There's a very good feminist scholar for all your listeners. Her name is Bell Hooks, an African-American woman who really writes very, very good about how our culture is embedded with masculinity and how that is deeply related also to racism. Okay, this systemic way of perceiving certain groups of people, whether they are based on their skin color, their race, but also their gender as the norm, and everyone else as a bit of secondary. You know, you can see it in movies, video games, books, stories, and so forth. So that is the systemic nature of how our culture excludes certain identities and includes other identities.
Mm. But Karim, is it really a big deal, though, that men might not have female heroes?
Personally, I do not think it's that big of a deal because it's not very often, it's not intentional. It is just that we are a product of the culture we live in. So I think on an individual level, it's not a big deal. But I think on a systemic and cultural level, it is a big deal. I think, in my opinion, it is a very, very big deal that we do not see females or hardly see females as protagonists or main characters in movies, and then in particular non-white females. Let that be clear. We cannot untie these two things because feminism often had revolved in the old days about the privileged white woman without actually thinking about even a more underprivileged non-white woman, whether she's Chinese, whether she's Indian, whether she's black, it doesn't matter. Everyone outside of that norm. This is something that is more insidious and really needs to change. I think it needs to change that when I play a video game, I cannot play a non-white woman. And often not even a woman in general, you know. So in that case, it is more of a big deal because that's systemic. These are images we are being fed every day when we put on a television, when we watch Netflix, when we go onto Google. People are unconsciously fed images the whole time of who is worthy, who are the heroes, and who are not heroes, who are always excluded. And that shapes the way people think day to day. Think about billboards. Do you ever see dark-skinned people on billboards? Dark-skinned women in particular. So in that case, yes, it's a big deal. The systemic nature needs to change. And it's changing now. So let's be honest here. It's slowly changing. So that is a good thing, but we need way more work.
Mm. And this Twitter thread was a way to normalize and highlight men looking up to women. Why is this important?
Yes, I think this Twitter thread is a very good way of highlighting this aspect of our culture and also to normalize it because it's a very positive thread. It's something positive, you know. And why do I say this? Well, because let's be honest, the past few years, or we could even say decades, a lot of feminist trends have been very negative towards men and masculinity. I think one of the biggest mistakes a lot of feminist trends made was that the tendency to shame men and masculine behavior. This has a very negative and detrimental effect. Because let's not forget one very important aspect of sexism. Sexism is asymmetrical towards both males and females. Okay? So sexism also has a very negative effect on males. It's unfair to both genders because not just were women excluded from certain aspects of culture. There was also a much higher burden on men, and it's still there in culture. Men need to earn more. Men need to be agentic, take the initiative. Men need to chase the woman. Men always needed to do the more dangerous jobs, more dangerous and hard work. And let's not forget one of the most important and unfair aspects of sexist culture. The idea that men are not allowed to feel, to show their pain, to be emotional, to show their suffering. And there is a reason why almost in every country, men significantly more commit suicide than women. Because men, we all live in a culture in which we are not allowed, so to speak, to express our pain and suffering. So men suffer in silence, which is very, very detrimental to the psychological health of men. So what I'm trying to say here is that sexism, instead of what you see with a lot of feminist trends and feminist people who don't think deeper. I do that as an academic. I need to think deeper. No, it's unfair against all of us. So let's be fair here and see how sexism is unfair to both sides. You know, excluding women, which is terrible, but also putting a higher burden on men, and in particular that men are not allowed or to speak about their feelings, to show their feelings and their pain, and to cry, for example. This is very negative for males as well. So to get back to your question, I think this thread is a very good way, a positive way of shining a light on sexism. And I think it would also be a good way to shine a positive light on the things that make it harder for men, for example, in a sexist culture. Because this way, if you are a feminist, for example, if you want to convince men to come to your side, then show how sexism is also very bad for men as well.
Thank you, Karim. That was Dr. Karim Battash, Senior Lecturer in Psychology. We've actually been getting a lot of nice comments on this topic, Dash.
Yeah, so over on Twitter at BFM Radio, we asked you, do you have female heroes? So you have two options, yes, no. And we also wanted to know who these heroes are. So we've right now about 80... 5, 86% of y'all say yes, while about 14% say no. And so I'm going to read out some of the replies we have. Rebel to save the environment says Mother Teresa. And then Iqbal Abdullah says, he named a few great ones. Nicole David, Naomi Osaka, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, great Grace Hopper, AOC, and Khadija Binti Kuailet. And also we have Kavindran, who says Greta Thunberg, and also Maria Popova. Then we got a couple of people who said my mom. I mean, not my mom, their moms.
Your mom is just
my mom is also here too. And then Eva Bole says Sibyl Kartigesu. Then we have Dat Vadai, that he named a couple of many local people of prominence like Ambika Srinivasa, Nurul Iza, my mom again.
His mom.
A. Chandramalal and Justice Datuk P. Nalini. And then we've got someone who definitely not a doctor. Ed Azman Rock says, my very first boss, a great leader and even more of an excellent doctor. And that's nice. He said, I even named my daughter after her.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we've also got a WhatsApp, which is, it put a smile on my face because honestly, if I'm being perfectly honest, the names he listed here are people I look up to as well. So he listed female heroines, Julia Jacob, Sharmila, Lee Chui Lin, Lim Suan, T. Xiao Yik, Mira and Adeline, because they prepare and deliver, always regularly deliver good quality work based on very, very good research. So,
thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I'm trying to stop blushing. But I think that actually it's very nice to hear because the general assumption, and I still feel that, right? Like the fact that we can actually count the number of female heroes that are inspiring in itself means that it's still not thoroughly common for people to bring up women as being inspiring, for men to bring up women as being inspiring, one thing. But honestly, even for myself, when I thought about who I would consider as a hero, I don't automatically go to women. And I think that's because generally society in itself doesn't hold women up as being heroes.
And that's it, isn't it? Because when you asked me, Shamla, I struggled to think for a moment because it's tough. You know, you're trying to go through this list and you in your mental list, and then you realize that so many of them are male, when, and it's not really intentional, like it's just people, it's things that you read in the media, it's things that you see in the media, that the what you hear from people around you, that all influences how you think and perceive things.
Yeah, I agree with that, because for us to have heroes, I mean, in a very like sort of, you know, you snap your fingers and the name comes to your head immediately, a lot of times it's because of the stories you read, the movies you watch and all that. And we are only now, as we talked about briefly earlier, in the age where, you know, we are starting to see more and more films and stories about a lot of these females, like hidden figures.
Not your day to day.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, literally the hidden figures though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that is why people sort of struggle to name female heroes. It's not because we don't look up to women, but it sort of takes some time to really think about, like, who do I actually like look up to, you know?
Who do I know, I think, right? Yeah. And because you have to know someone. And see, that story is really important because it's not just, even someone like Rosalind Franklin. Yes, I know her as a name, but do I know her story? Do I know who she is? Because if you think of all the biopics you might have seen, the magazine articles you might have read, that kind of in-depth connection you have with someone so that you say they are your hero, you need to know them. And more often than not, a lot of these females who have accomplished things, you don't know them as people. You might know them as names in a book. But I thought it would be nice to round up the segment on a positive note, as Kareem said, by us talking about some of the female heroes that have inspired us. So I'm just going to say that mine, very quickly, Michelle Obama, because I find her very inspiring. Dinah Wynne Jones, who is a children's book author, who I find is one of the few adults, very, very good writer, definitely inspired me to write. But also a writer who takes children seriously and an adult who doesn't look down on children and the things that are important to them. And finally, Topuan Uma Samanthan, who I feel locally has been someone who has inspired many, many women, many Indian women, and has tried very hard to uplift and empower the Indian community here. Mm. Suha?
Well, someone else already also named my choice, because I was going to pick Dato' Nicole David as well, mm-hmm. because I think, you know, she was so prominently featured in Malaysian sports and even in international sports. You know, it was so inspiring to see a Malaysian up there taking the world number one title for months and months and months. And I think that really inspired a lot of people to pursue sports, and especially to show young girls as well that, you know, you can do things like that.
Mm. Yeah, and for me, I would say one of them is definitely Pauline Kael, who was a very prominent film critic in the 60s, 70s. Even Roger Ebert. A lot of people sort of praise Roger Ebert. Roger Ebert as sort of this grandfather of film criticism. But even Roger Ebert said he really looked up to Pauline Kael. I also like another film critic, Anupama Chopra, who runs a Film Companion, which is one of the biggest Indian film criticism websites. And in terms of Suhan brought up an athlete, I'm going to talk about a pro wrestler, which is sports entertainment, Lita, because she was wrestling when I was growing up. Mm. And it was at the time where women's wrestling in particular was very, the whole idea of it wasn't wrestling. It was, a lot of it was like lingerie matches, you know, things like that, just to sort of pander to the largely male demographic. It was, a lot of it had to do with sex and these sort of things. But Lita was one of them that really actually could wrestle so well using her athletic abilities. And she had she didn't look like a typical model. She had, you know, like this colored hair with loads of tattoos. She came out to like heavy punk rock music. And like, so she was one of those that sort of transcended what they used to call the divas wrestling back mm-hmm. in the day. Yeah.
Nice. So that's a nice list of people. And thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. You can continue to let us know if you have female heroes, who they are. Tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you've missed any part of today's show, you can get the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Earth Matters, Juliet Jacobs will be speaking to Mariani Ramli, who's the founder of the Gibbon Conservation Society, and they'll be talking about her work and also the urgent need to stop the illegal gibbon trade. So that's it from us today, but do stay tuned for that after the 3 p.m. news. We leave you now with Woman by Karen O, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.